Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Let's Go.
You ready for it?
95.
I have with me today my sister, Sade. And Sade is like one of my sisters that is very humble. We're going to start there. So let's see how she introduces herself. But she does a lot of stuff, and I admire her really, really. I greatly admire her. How long have we been? When did we meet? 2014 or?
Something like that.
Somewhere in there? Yeah. What's that, 6 years? It seems like a lifetime. This is one of my, you would think that we've known each other forever. So I want her to introduce herself, tell us what you do, what you have going on right now that you're willing to share with us, where they can find you, what's your Instagram, like what you know, all your platforms, so that, because they're going to want to know you after this.
Right. Hi, everyone. My name is Sade Bradford Bond, and I am an author. I'm a motivational speaker, and right now I am working on a new book. It's kind of like a children's book series, but it's really designed for learning. And so it's entitled What Color Is My Mask? And it's a little children's book just to help young people, toddlers, babies, and this young children in general to get comfortable with wearing masks as we are in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think a lot of times adults, as you all can see when you look at the news, adults have a hard time wearing masks sometimes. But in the eyes of a little one, it can be scary to see people with face coverings. And so it's just a very fun, cute way. Right now it's 3 books. They can all be found on Amazon. But for the most part, it's What Color Is My Mask? And you can find me on Instagram at Sade Bradford.
I didn't even know about the mask thing. That's on top of all the other books and stuff that she has that she didn't talk about. So will we be able to see those other things on your platform, Facebook?
Yes, I am on Facebook. Yes.
What Color Is My Mask?
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. So so let's just talk a little bit about Let's Go, Let's Talk Sis. This is the platform that I am using to talk about some of today's issues. Last week when we were, or a couple weeks ago on my first episode, I kind of talked about mental health a little bit and COVID. And so I got a lot of feedback that people really wanted to have more information about mental health and COVID. So I'm excited to talk about it because I think that we are like, if y'all look at the world right now, there's some things going on. And so I don't know. There's some really good stuff, though. We're going to talk about positive stuff and the stuff that are not so positive, because I've actually seen some really good stuff happening because of COVID. But also just mental health, period, I want to talk about, because in our community, we don't always talk about mental health. And I think that, you know, we look on the outside of us and we say, oh, they're strong. And I think we were kind of talking about this the last time, but we need to check on our strong friends. We need to check on, you know, the people that we probably think that are okay, and just check. But let's talk about how it's affecting people. What have you seen, or just personally? How are you and COVID getting along?
We're not getting along very well.
Okay.
I think for me personally, it's affected me in a pretty dramatic way. I work currently, my job right now, I work with young people in foster care. And so it's hard because a big part of my job, the way it functions, is to meet with the young people I serve in person. And so it gets a little harder when I'm serving a community that's already marginalized, that's already invincible in a way. And it's hard to be that lifeline for people when you can't be there in person. Exactly. And my kids are struggling right now. You know, I have kids that are just like, you know, Miss Sade, can you just come on Zoom, like set up a Zoom and let's just talk. And I would be like, well, talk about what? What do you want to talk about? Anything, you know? So yeah. I think for a lot of young people, it's just extremely challenging. I think for me in general, as a mom, I'm a mom of a 2-year-old precocious little boy.
Precocious.
For parents of 2-year-olds, you understand. But the challenges and the fears of going out, being in public, meeting with my kids whenever I have to drop off equipment or just go check on them, and having the concern in the back of my mind that I might bring something home to my family, to my husband, to my son. So
exactly.
I'm not getting along with COVID very much right now. And I suspect that a lot of people have those same types of fears, same types of anxieties. And I think for me, you know, I'm in a good position because, you know, I have somebody to come home to. I have a family that I can kind of talk things out with. But my concern goes out to the people, like you were talking about, some of the people who may not have anybody to go home and talk to and express their fears and their doubts about the coronavirus. So I think that's kind of, I'm not an expert on mental health by any stretch of the imagination.
Neither am I.
But I know that those people are out there. And I think that that's kind of the population that I'm concerned about. It's just the people who just don't have anybody to reach out to. And then the question becomes, how do we stay connected to those individuals?
Exactly. So you were talking about Zoom, and I've been thinking lately, like, how can we stay connected to people, period? For the people who are not going out their house, because I'm going out my house. Now, I will tell you, I'm not just going haphazardly out my house. Right. But I still am, you know, I've here and there am connecting with people. Mentally, there's people that were not okay before COVID, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So now you don't get to do, I've been saying, we're not able to do our best life stuff, you know? Right. Like whatever it is that you were doing to live your, I just went and got my nails done. Girl, look at these.
They're cute. You know,
think I'll do it so I can sit in the house. But anyway, so I went and got my nails done yesterday, and I was thinking about, that's the first time since, what, February probably February or January that I've been out, and that's one of my things, you know, you're my de-stressor. Let me go get my nails and my toes done. And when I was in there, now I'm not one of those people that are so scared about COVID. I know how to protect myself. I know to keep my hands out of my mucous membranes, and you know, because they've been telling us just our face, but right. they're not telling you what part of your face not to touch. Right. So, but just thinking about it, I was like, these people are in here. I don't know where they've been, right? So my daughter was with me. I said, you better not touch nothing on your body until we get home. So I had her with her hands up in the car, and all, as soon as we got in the car in the house, I was like, and wash your hands. Right. And then I went back outside and I made sure that I Cloroxed my car, you know, to make sure that we're okay. But people are not okay. There's been some mm-hmm. things, you know, and I know you're not on social media. Well, she lurks. I think she lurks on social media. But we can't tell whether she's on social media or not. But I've been seeing a lot of crazy stuff happening on social media, just the way people are interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. They're snapping. People are getting upset, going back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's a lot going on. So I've been looking, and you know, in the news they're talking about domestic violence rates are up. Mm-hmm. I think the last time I looked it was like 49%. Child abuse is up, crime in general is up. And so I'm thinking about, like, is it because we're not able to do our things that are our de-stressors?
Well, I don't know all of the particulars. So what I will say is that I think COVID-19 has made, for a lot of people, a bad situation worse.
Yeah.
So if you are already under stress, already dealing with finances or financial issues, already dealing with challenges, maybe with your spouse or your partner or your kids, I think the fact that COVID-19 has kind of, by force, caused people to be quarantined on the inside and having to just be more reserved and stay home, I think that it has definitely put a lot more pressure, I think, on situations that already probably were not in the best conditions.
Right.
And I think that's challenging.
And if we be honest, I always talk about tools. Do we have right. the tools, even outside of COVID, do we have the tools to not be under those pressures? If you stress and go get your nails. No, okay, I'm just playing.
Go get your nails,
go get your nails done. Or do whatever it is that would make you to not stress, right? And most of those things, they're not open. But I teach Monday through Friday. I teach, you know, new hires. One of the questions that we ask is, what enhances your quality of life? Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting is that people do not know what enhanced their quality of life. And this is not, this is pre-COVID, post-COVID,
right,
during COVID.
Right.
Like, people really don't know, and it takes them a long time to answer that question.
Right.
And so if you don't have those tools, or if your mind is focused on all these other things how do we now get in a situation that we've never been, well, I don't want to say never been in, but in my generation,
in my lifetime,
I've never been
in this
situation. And so we're, you know, if you don't know how to de-stress, you don't
de-stress,
know, you don't
right.
have the tools, you don't know what enhances your quality of life, and you're not doing any of those things, I can see people snapping, sis.
Yeah, no, and I think that you said something interesting. Before COVID, and this is just my own personal opinion, I think that in general, people don't have appropriate coping skills in general, or they didn't pre-COVID. And so what I mean by coping skills, like, what is some of the things that you do, those tools that you talked about, that you utilize to kind of help calm yourself down, de-stress yourself, especially when the pressures of a life enhance or they kind of build up. And so even with my young people, I talk to my young people about taking a walk. If you have to just take a walk and breathe, count to 10, you know, sometimes it's picking up a book and reading something that you like, or even social media for the most part. I don't think that's a bad thing for people to kind of get an outlet if they need to. But the tools that I'm thinking about are usually the tools that don't necessarily require something external that could potentially be taken away, if that makes sense.
Right, it does make sense. So, and I think that people, I mean, like, you're like, who wants to take a walk to deep? But we don't know that that causes endorphins, right? And so that helps us with our brain releasing the stress that we have. I'm a music girl. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on some music. I don't care how ratchet it is. But anyway, I'm going to turn on some music and we go talk where we go just we I'm just going to I'm not going to think about anything else but this particular whatever the song is. And that's my thing. And I've always been like that. But I had to learn those tools. Right. So what are some tools that you use to kind of de-stress and get your mind back focused and, you know, just keep you being Sade, writing these books that they should be popping out 10 a year?
not quite.
Okay, four. But anyway, go ahead.
So for me, one of the things I mentioned, I'm a walker, and I have in my backyard, I have a little, I call it a backyard, but it's really just a plot of dirt, but it's enough space to move around if I really need to. Or sometimes I'll just go sit in silence. I think because my life in general, COVID or no COVID, my life in general has just been busy. I think it's been affected in terms of me slowing down a little bit. But when I say a little, I really mean a little. For the most part, my life has just either gotten busier or I've maintained a certain level of busyness. So sometimes just sitting down and being quiet and just thinking, or even not thinking, just sitting, helps me to just kind of relax and release some of the tension that I have in my day. And I have to work really hard. And when I say really hard, I have to work really hard to incorporate that into my everyday life and routine, just because sometimes life, you know, I'm not immune to the stressors of life, COVID or no COVID. I still have bills to pay, right?
Oh, they didn't stop.
They did not.
We just can't get evicted or nothing right now. But them bills, I'm telling people, listen, y'all got to find a way, because those bills are still there.
Yeah,
they still there, and they're not going anywhere. What some things that I've seen positively that came out of COVID is there's a lot in our community. There's a lot of people trying their hand at the entrepreneurial side of them. I'm super, super excited about that. I've been seeing a lot of my friends in the Valley. Now, historically in the Valley, we have not been represented, right? We have not had a culture. In the past two, three years, I've been seeing that getting better. There's a lot of people out doing their thing, right? And so what I am super excited about, and it's not even just in Arizona, but across the country, I see people that are of color taking the opportunity to step out on faith.
Right.
And so I'm super excited about that happening and where it's going to lead us. I hope we stay doing that. I hope that we have learned that, you know, all of those ideas and passions that are inside of you have been put inside of you for a reason. You know, I always tell people that when you find your happy place, know that that's the purpose of where you were supposed to be walking in.
Yeah.
You know, some people always ask me, well, how do you find your purpose? I said, wherever that feel good place is, that's something that God gave you. It doesn't have to be, you know, sometimes we think of anything God does, it has to be preaching and teaching and all that other stuff, although I do those. it has to be, you know, it does not have to be those things. It's just that happy place. If you sell some clothes, like I do too, Kingdom Styles, we'll talk about that later. If you sell clothes, you know, and that's your happy place, then that could be, there's a purpose inside of that.
Right.
Right. And so for me, talking about selling clothes, everybody who knows me is not me just showing you an item.
Right.
I think about what I put on people and what's going to make them feel good and how they're going to feel, because as women, you know, sometimes we operate in a lot of insecurities and we see ourselves way different than the other person. And I am a true believer that beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
One thing I tell my daughter, a couple of times she came home from school, she said, Mom, But they said, I said, they said, I said, well, when you look in the mirror, what do you see, daughter? I said, so if you, when you look in the mirror, if you see beauty, that really all that matters. They, because sometimes we'll hold ourselves to a standard of other people that they don't even hold their self to.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
So now they're not perfect. And then they're picking out your imperfections. Won't you worry about yourself? And when you look at yourself, what do you see? And when I look at myself, y'all, I done got dressed today. Y'all should listen. I could wait to put on some clothes to not be on video, but whatever. Because that's something that I think that makes people feel good as women.
Right.
You know, it makes us feel good to, you know, when you put your little clothes on and your little eyeshadow. If you wear eyeshadow, it doesn't even have to be that you have all that. I don't wear makeup, you know, very often. If I'm doing a fashion show, I wear some makeup, but I don't wear makeup.
Right.
And so whatever that is that makes you feel, you know, you, that also helps with your mental health.
Oh, I agree. 100%. I heard somebody say recently that taking care of yourself is a full-time job.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that it's a part of it. I definitely agree with that.
That's kind of why I got dressed, because I realized that I am so quick to just, listen, right now, for what? Put on clothes for what? But I've realized also it's not been making me feel the Tamika I am.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
It does.
Because I put on some clothes. That's what I do. And I haven't been doing that. And I think that, you know, we have to just get back to those things. Maybe it doesn't have to be just putting on clothes, but whatever it is that you stop doing because COVID hasn't allowed you to do, not like going out and interacting, but going out to places.
Right.
But you talked earlier about they just want you to talk about something. And I wanted to ask you, well, do you get on Zoom and just talk about anything?
With my kiddos?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's something. Do you get on Zoom and talk to your friends? Okay, we ain't going to talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. I think I probably called her about 50 times to get her on the phone. Like, hey, where are you at? Are you okay? But getting on Zoom and getting on any kind of platforms where we can connect. And I think that's what social media does for people.
Yeah.
I know for me, social media is for that. So with Sade, I have to call Sade because, you know, you look on social media and you're like, oh, they're doing good. They're okay. You know, you see the little pictures or whatever. She might post 2 times in a year.
No, that is not true. That is, I am trying.
Don't make me go look at your face. Okay, put it down. Okay.
No, I am trying to get better. I understand that social media is how people stay connected. I think in this pandemic, now more than ever, is the best time for people to be on social media, to be engaged, to figure out what other people are doing, or just to go say hi and check on folks. So I agree with you in that regard. It definitely is a good time to be on social media, because what happens is that if people aren't on social media and they're alone, well, that's where some of the alarm bells start going off.
Exactly.
So I think that it's a good time to reach out to your friends, reach out to your buddies, your enemies, whoever, and just say hi, just say hello, just check on them and see how they're doing, because we are not okay in general. I think a lot of people are just not okay, and most of us don't know how to say
I'm not okay.
Exactly. Most people don't. But if you call and check and say, hey sis, how you doing, you know, how's your week? How's your weekend? Did you do anything interesting? It doesn't even have to be like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just want to feel like somebody cares. Exactly. Uh-huh. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said, go ahead.
So yeah, so I just think that's important, at least for the social media aspect. But I am getting better.
You know what? You don't ever have to get on social media. As long as your people know that, you know, we could connect with you on other stuff. I really don't, you know, think that that's the only way you can connect with somebody.
Of course, of course.
Social media. I want to touch and feel people.
Yeah.
So I am having a hard time because I can't do the Let's Go Sis movement.
Okay. Right.
So the Let's Go Sis movement, I talk about it every time, is us connecting and being there for each other and being that resource for each other. And I can't do any of those. And I keep going backwards and back and forth about actually doing an event, which I'm probably going to do. Listen, as long as we stay safe,
right,
then I think that we can come in small groups and still get our point across. So I wanted to talk about real quick, and then I'm going to wrap up mental health, and I'm going to talk about some stuff that's dear to my heart. But I just want to talk about real quick some of the things that we can still go out and do in the valley. What I just looked at some stuff. Now, it's hot now. So there was a lot of stuff that it was talking about doing, like, you know, hiking and stuff like that. That's all good if that's what y'all do.
Okay.
One more time, it's hot. So I did come up with a few things. Now, I have snuck over to San Diego a couple times.
Okay.
I say snuck because I snuck, no. Because San Diego is not that far from us.
No, it's not that far.
We don't have any beaches in Arizona. We have lakes and stuff, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But, you know, I went over. If you have not been to San Diego lately, take a day and go to, say, 2 days, go to, say, drive up, mm-hmm. get on the beach, let that them waves. They are disrespectful, some of them waves, though. Listen, I almost drowned, I thought. But take that down to it. But I think that it was really awesome to be in 82-degree weather
right.
and be able to look at the beach and just kind of chill out for my mental health, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm one of them people that I'm always doing something, always. And don't give me don't say something that give me an idea. I'm a squirrel. I'm overdoing it. I'd be like, oh, it's something else to be done. Let's go. So, but I did in the valley, I did come up with just a few outdoor stuff. But I saw the drive-thrus. We have like two of them, I think.
Right, right.
I know there's one in Glendale mm-hmm. That we can stay in our car.
Right.
And run that good old AC. I don't know about running it for an hour and a half, but listen, a drive-through. We have some lakes that we can go to. Mm-hmm. I pulled up. Everybody knows about Lake Pleasant.
Right.
We have Saguaro, Canyon, Apache, mm-hmm. Bartlett Lake, and they're not that far. Most of them is about an hour, less than an hour and a half away. So, you know, we have these things that we can go to. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to the Grand Canyon,
okay,
go to the Grand Canyon and see, because the Grand Canyon. Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
I have one time.
I'm a little scared, so I would probably not go back again. Because you know how they have that clear part. I was like, we gonna fall. I'm Gucci. But I think the Grand Canyon. And then I pulled up Wrigley's Mansion that I've never been in. So that's probably where.
I've been there one time as well. Is it like, where is it? It's like at the top. I don't want to say top of a mountain.
It was. The way the pictures look is like you drove up.
It's definitely a trek to get there. Yeah. I've been there once. It's nice.
So I pulled up those things, and then I just thought inside the house, find something to do. You know, play. My kids are 13 and 15, so they kind of look at me crazy, but I be trying to play Uno, and they be like, Mama, we're not doing all of that, right? So just find something that is, you know, whatever your fun thing to do. If you like to play cards, you know, in Arizona, y'all play spades and dominoes and stuff. One of my friends has a place called Players Hiatus.
Really?
43rd and Northern, maybe?
I didn't know.
Right. So they have his name is Lee Jackson. Let me look it up while we're talking. But he is, what they have is they have the systems there, but he also has dominoes, chess, and spades.
I never knew that.
And you can go, and it's fairly inexpensive mm-hmm. to go. And I don't know if he has what, you know, limits he has or whatever, but I thought that was a cool idea to do and represent, because we have a lot of game places that represent everybody.
Right.
But we play spades. And dominoes.
I'm from Detroit. If you don't know how to play spades,
do you know how to play
Detroit, spades? Of course. I'm the queen of spades.
No, you're not the queen of spades.
And I had the black queen of spades at that.
So, yeah, it's called Players Hiatus. And let me see if I can get an address while we're on here.
Well, while you're looking that up, one of the things, now I'm a mama of a 2-year-old, so we find the simple joys and pleasures of life, especially during COVID, but we have like a little park right up the street from our house. Now, we try not to go when it's too crowded, but sometimes we just go for walks around the block. And I know it's hot, like you mentioned about 2011 times, but sometimes it's just fun to just get out the house and just do something that requires you to get out the house. And so just going for a walk. Literally, it makes a difference, especially for my little one to kind of help get some of that energy burned off.
So walks.
Yes.
In the 120. I'm not a fan,
but if you guys are a fan. About 7, 8 in the morning, it's not 120.
Okay, it's 99. But so the address for his location is 4228 West Northern Avenue, Suite 4. Phoenix, Arizona, 85051. One thing that I hope to do is continue the movement even through these talks of promoting, you know, people in the community, in our community, because we need to start supporting each other.
I agree.
We have a lot of people that aren't supporting us, which brings me to something you asked me while we were sitting out here waiting to start the show. So she asked me, how do I feel about the social injustice going on right now as mm-hmm. it relates to my boys.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm worried about them. And I think as a whole, I'm worried about everybody in this position. You know, right. I'm worried about, you know, if we can handle it. I'm worried about if we know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about if there is even in some situations, is it just going to be what it is? I'm worried about, you know, are we, because crime is up, are we going out in the community and are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? You know, a lot of people, I think, just think that we are being picked on, which I by no means do I think that we are not, what is it called, racially profiled,
right,
at all. But how do we act when that situation happens? Because our knee-jerk reaction is to get an attitude, mm-hmm, and to have it. But does that help?
I think, for me personally, I don't think that it helps the situation, or I don't think it adds to the situation. I understand people's frustrations.
Exactly.
And to be honest with you, sometimes I think we're at the point in American society where if you are stopped by the police, it's a win if you survive your stop. Okay? So I remember not too long ago, I saw a video went viral of a black police officer who was driving and pulled over by a white police officer. And his reaction was basically like, now I understand the fear. That, mm-hmm, that black men have and that black people in general have when they are pulled over by a white police officer. And I think that at one point in the video, he said that the officer, I don't know if he was supposed to like reach for his license or registration, and he's just like, no, I'm not reaching for nothing, but right, this is where it is. So I think survival is just a win, and that's a sad day where you can't get stopped by the police and survive, you know? And I know statistically, if you compare the numbers, and I don't know all of the numbers, I know the instances of people getting shot and killed are low in compared to the number of people who are stopped in general, but it should be zero, if that makes sense. And so to go back to your original question, does it help to, you know, have an attitude? Does it help to, you know, have a negative reaction when that happens? No, it doesn't. It's hard not to. But my concern or my hope for people is that you just live and that you survive, if, mm-hmm, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think that we have to get in a place where that's our concern too.
Right.
Right now, this is not about who's right and who's wrong. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's about, do you get back in your car, mm-hmm, and I continue on my journey?
Right.
For me. And so, and you said something, and I was thinking about, you know, I'll never understand what it is to be a black man, no, you know, because not as many, it's typically the black men that are being
murdered,
right? Mm-hmm. And so I be trying not to get all deep, but I think about the trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
If you take the head of us away, then what? Then what do we have? We already in a place where our kings are not in the position that they should be, okay, in, or that they were created to be in. You know, mm-hmm, we're already in that position. So we already see the effects of that. Right. And we kind of talked about it on the last show. You know, you already see, you know, the effects of what happens when you don't have a strong male, mm-hmm, to help lead. Right. Mm-hmm. So if our black men are continuously being either they're not surviving these stops, or they're in prison, or they're getting arrested, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And they're being put in positions where they can't have our back, right? And we need that. It's time for us to take our rightful position as kings and queens. And I think that going forward, that's something that I want to address on this show, and I, right, will have. It's called Let's Talk Sis, but there's some strong men that I would love to have on the show to help us be better.
Right.
You know, even, you know, talking about the issues that we have within our community,
right,
with each other, mm-hmm, so that we can break down some of those barriers. I said it last week, and I refuse to let, I hate to say the white man, because, you know, I don't feel, you know, crazy about all white people. However, I refuse to let what they tried to do to us in slavery continue to affect me, mm-hmm, right? And so what that means is that we have to start to break down the things I had told the people before. Have you read the Willie Lynch letter? Because if you right. read that letter, you will know what's going on. Light skin against dark. For what? Sis, we all melanated. Don't not one look better than the other. I think I'm the darkest melanated person in life. But however, that's not true. But I love to see the darkest melanated people. That's beautiful to me.
Right.
The lightest melanated people with that have albinism. Though that's beauty to me.
Right.
I think that beauty again is in the eye of the beholder. And once we start beholding ourselves as beautiful,
right,
not what somebody else told us,
right,
it might start to change some stuff. I think that a lot of this is about the insecurities that we have within us.
I think it's about insecurities, but I also think that it's about what we are taught to project.
Exactly.
So for me, and I would consider myself to be a darker skinned girl, I want everybody to win. I don't care if you're white, orange, purple, green, blue, polka dots. I want you to win in life. Like, for me, as a Black woman, it doesn't make me envious or jealous to see Tamika winning, you know, with everything that she has going on in her life. You talked earlier about entrepreneurism kicking up during COVID, but it doesn't make me feel bad to see my brothers and sisters starting new businesses, writing books, like doing cool stuff that I probably will never do in my lifetime. It doesn't make me feel bad because I want you to win, and you winning doesn't mean that I lose
at all. That means we winning.
And I think that we are programmed and trained, and not everybody, but I just think this is the culture to believe that in order for me to get ahead, you have to not get ahead.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just one of the challenges that I see in general in the world, but I see that so rampant in the Black community. So that means that if I'm a writer, I'm an author. So if somebody comes to me and say, "Hey, you know, I heard you're an author. You know, how did you do that?" In fact, I had a young man, a coworker of mine yesterday, asking me about how do I publish, and this is a text conversation, and I'm just giving him step
Links
by step,
it, right?
How I do it, because him publishing his book or you writing your stuff doesn't
have
mean
nothing
I lose.
To do with me.
Exactly,
it doesn't have nothing to do. And if we understand that, listen, I will continue to tell y'all that we have an area of influence.
Okay,
my area of influence is not your area of influence. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. I was having a conversation with a pastor who's probably going to listen to this, but he know how I am. Hey, Brian, how are you? So I was talking to Pastor Brian, and I was just saying that I understand that there are some things that, you know, you wouldn't do, mm-hmm. and how you wouldn't necessarily navigate yourself away through life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing it the way I do it, and people always are connected to or always try to get connected with me because of the similarity that they see.
Okay, I agree.
In me. My what I want people to understand is you have your area, I have my area.
Right.
We already had that. That was listen, that was already preordained, predestined. So it me not telling you, not helping you do whatever you need to do doesn't stop it.
Right.
And I said last week, if you doing the exact same thing I'm doing, I will still send them over there if that's where they need to be.
Exactly.
We all can do this together. Do you know how much further we would get if we would do it together?
Right. No, I agree.
There's so many. I was in a group, and it's supposed to be a training group for just a training group for entrepreneurs. I say that. And the girl keeps saying stuff like, "Don't tell nobody what you're doing. Don't give nobody no information that you tried to get." I'm like, look, sis, first of all, I'm giving all the information. This is right. where I did it. This how I did it. This how much you might need. This is my way. Listen, I don't know everything, but I go through the UPS and then I do priority mail just because I know what that's going to be. I know about how much stuff can fit in there,
right.
You know, so that you don't have to be starting from scratch.
Right.
Let's get this done quickly.
Right.
Whatever it is, you know, and if I have that information, then I'm not holding it.
I'm not holding it either.
I'm not holding it. So I'm very radical. Just let y'all know. Another thing that bothers me, in some of the things that we have taught in the church.
Uh-oh.
I will hear, don't let nobody steal. Don't tell nobody your dreams because they can murder them. Don't let them be a dream murderer or a vision murderer or whatever it is. And God had dropped in my spirit one day that can't nobody take away from you what we already agreed to in heaven that we were going to do together.
Right.
Right. And so the only way they can steal, kill, destroy, whatever they can do is if you allow them to, by allowing them to discourage you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
So they can't, just because I told it to you, you can't do, they were like, well, what if they go recreate it? Now, there's two things. If they go recreate it and it's something they were supposed to do, then it's going to be blessed. If they went and recreated out of malice and it wasn't something they were supposed to do, then they're not going to be blessed. And none of the, neither one of those, when I say I'm saying this, but not really, is any of my business, mm-hmm. right?
It don't have nothing to do with you.
It don't have nothing to do with me.
That's their business.
But when I go, when I create what I know God told me to do, because when you do what he say do, it's going to be blessed. And there's nothing no one can do to take that away from you.
Right.
I think that will help people to be, to continue. Like, we don't have to, we do not have to compete. Sis, right. One day I'm gonna write these books that's
yes,
in me.
Yes, honey, yes.
It's not gonna be anytime soon. She's been harassing me for like 2 years.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. But whenever I do, I'm definitely gonna come to you because I know that you're gonna help me and edit my whole books and stuff. All the stuff she says she don't wanna do, she gonna do those things.
For you, you will get the red carpet treatment.
Okay, good. So, but I think that what we need to do now, I encourage you guys, from where you're sitting, is to, ooh, that almost sound like I was about to preach. Hold on, y'all.
I felt it.
but what I do encourage y'all to do your thing, man.
Yeah.
Sis, do your thing. Whatever it is that you have in your heart to do, please do not let anybody tell you or discourage you. And God said, I heard him say, he already said yes. It was already a yes. He already, our life has already, it's already there. He just put us at the beginning, but it's already something that's already done
right
in the heavens. And we just have to get there. So whatever it is that y'all are doing, do that thing.
Yeah. I would say, not only do it, but a lot of time we talk about other people, you know, and their thoughts and the things that they may say to us. But a lot of times we stop ourselves. I can honestly say, if you allow me to be transparent, that I have struggled with the thoughts in my mind. Yeah, I think that if I would have not done something because of the negative thoughts that I said, you know, oh, Sade, nobody's going to like this. Nobody going to read this. Nobody's going to be interested in this. I probably would have never published anything or did anything worthwhile in my life in general. So I think the thing that I would encourage people to say is, you know, don't believe the thoughts that you are thinking. Like, they're literally just thoughts. There is a song that says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest in your hair. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I think those negative thoughts will come because, you know, that's just what they are, negative thoughts. But you don't have to dwell on them, and you don't have to dwell on the things, the voices in your mind that says you can't do this, you can't do that. I think that if we can get over our biggest enemy, which oftentimes is ourselves, it's the thoughts that we think and it's the thoughts that we choose to believe, I think that we would be much more farther ahead. And so that's what I would encourage people to, especially during this time, during this pandemic, you know, don't dwell on the negativity, the negative thoughts that are in your mind. If it's something that you want to do, just do it, you know, and let your feelings catch up with you.
And I think that, you know, some of the stuff that we do, as we're talking about what enhances your quality of life and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. If I want to write a book that don't nobody ever read, I wrote that book.
You wrote it.
And
you
it feels
it.
Some
yeah.
type of way.
Yeah, you did it.
Before we go, though, because we're about to wrap up, but I do want to get back to real quick about the social injustice and our black men. What do you think we can do, or what kind of support can we give them, or what could we do?
Well, this is a two-part answer, and I'll start maybe from the beginning, and then I'll kind of make a quick transition. So, again, I'm a mom of a 2-year-old son. I think that if we could teach our black boys to believe that they are kings, teach our black boys to believe that they are intelligent men, strong men, that they are worthy of the good things in life, I think a lot of times what you believe about yourself is reinforced in the home or a lack thereof. So I think that it starts at home. As parents, it's sometimes not always the easiest, especially if you have single moms raising children. But if we could teach our children in general, not just our sons, but teach our young boys and our young girls to respect themselves and to love themselves, I think that's where it starts, to me personally. But for grown adult men, because this is where we are in the world, you kind of have to, you know, tackle this problem on both ends. I don't know. I think for adult men, you kind of have to do the same thing but amplify it, because you have to catch up on a lifetime of not negative thinking. Yep. I am a proponent of counseling. I think look, if you need a therapist, if you need a counselor, do what you have to do in terms of improving your quality of life and improving your general mental health. Oftentimes in the African-American community, mental health is stigmatized.
It is.
Getting some type of assistance, getting on medication is oftentimes stigmatized. So I would say if that's what you need, if you need to talk to someone who's objective, not Pookie, not Keisha, not Ray Ray
Pookie,
and them.
Really not Pookie and Ray Ray and them. I'm going to need you to go on.
Nothing wrong with having friends to vent to, but in terms of like the quality of your mental health, sometimes it's okay to reach out to a professional who literally went to school to help people like you, people who may be unstable, people who may have some challenges adjusting to life just because of everything that's going on in the world, everything that's going on in your individual world. And so I definitely am a big fan, you know, get you a counselor, get you somebody objective that you can talk to about your issues. And it doesn't have to cost a lot. They have free services depending on what your income level is. They have services that you are allowed to participate in on a sliding scale, which means it's based on your income. A lot of people through your job, a lot of people don't even use the
EPA and stuff like that. Yeah.
That comes with their job. So if you have access to mental health resources, use them because that's what they're there for.
Right. And so I think that she said it all. We definitely need to use those and get out of our mind that everything has to be a secret and nobody needs to know about that stuff. Because that's one of the things that we've learned in our community as well, is that let's not talk about this. And y'all, let me tell y'all, when I went back and used my resources, listen, I had to go back deep down. Listen, 2-3 year old stuff. I'm like, I was only 3. Like, how do I even remember that? But God has a way of bringing that back up so that you can heal.
Right.
He said that he will give you the oil of joy for your mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get to that place where we get beauty for ashes. Right. Mm-hmm. Trade that in.
Yeah. Trade it in.
I had got tired of living like that. So but today I really, really appreciate my sister Sade Bradford Bond coming on and talking with us about everything. She probably will be a stable person in Let's Talk Sis. Y'all, you know, comment under this. Let us know if this is helping you guys. Let me know if there's any topics that you guys want to talk about. Let's make this interactive and let's move and push our community to the greatness it was supposed to be. I will say it again. Let's rise to be the kings and queens that we were meant to be. And I'm out on that. It's your girl, Tamika.